Welcome to Deep Dive MH370, episode 31, the season one finale. Hello again, I'm Andy Tarnoff, the publisher and founder of OnMilwaukee.com, a daily magazine, city guide, and media company based in Milwaukee. And like I have been joined for 30 episodes and now the 31st, I'm joined by Jeff Wise, the author of The Taking of MH370, an aviation journalist and a man who knows more about MH370 than I could even begin to imagine. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thank you, Andy. Well, you've learned a lot, I think. We've both learned a lot over the last 30-odd episodes now. This is a good place to take a breath, look back at what we've done, think about what's the best way to hit the next, you know, stretch of episodes. We've been kind of going along, talking about each piece of this mystery one by one. And we didn't know when we started this, like how many we were going to do or how really we were going to approach it. We've been kind of figuring out on the fly. We've got enough traction. We've got enough of a kind of a community around this podcast right now.
We're definitely going to look forward today, Jeff. Just like every show in the history of time, every podcast, there are seasons. And you and I started the production of this 8 months ago. And
we did not take a week off, did a solo episode. But apart from that, we have not missed an episode.
Oh, my God. So it's been a pretty amazing effort. And it's going to continue. But yeah, we are going to take our season one hiatus as we regroup and plan for season two.
Part of the exciting thing about being in the podcast world is that, you know, you can reach out to other people, tap their expertise, they can tap yours. And I was just on the Next Trip Network podcast with Doug and Drew. These guys are deep aviation guys. So they had really interesting perspective. Actually, Doug is a 777 pilot. So I was able to ask him the same questions I asked Juan Brown that we had so much controversy about in the last episode. Yeah. So I just want to like kind of key people onto that. Check out the Next Trip Network podcast. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. And while we're on our short break, I just want our people, and we'll talk more about this at the end, but I want our fans or non-fans to at least know that we will be continuing to do content during our short hiatus in between seasons. It's just going to look a little bit different, and we'll tell you about more about that. Today, we do want to talk about the six mysteries of MH370. Right. And frankly, we've answered some of these questions. So this is kind of a good refresher course as we get ready to look ahead, Jeff.
I feel like the sort of overall message we've been trying to say here is we're trying to talk about MH370, but we're also talking about how we talk about MH370. The conversation prior to this podcast has been basically people trying to promote different theories. And there's some merits to that because ultimately that's how science moves forward, by generating theories. Before you can really weigh a theory or compare it to another theory, you have to understand the basic facts of the case. And so obviously I have a theory. Everybody knows what my theory is, but I've been trying to set that aside and say, okay, apart from where I think this all leads to, I want people to understand about the SDU reboot, about the seabed search, about the debris that washed up. Like, let's try to form a consensus understanding of what the basic reality is of the case before we try to argue about what that means about what happened to the plane.
Okay.
And there's six things that I think we've really moved the ball forward. So that's what I wanted to do today, is to say, look, we're going to take a little pause, but we want to kind of let the world or whoever's watching this podcast reflect on the six major developments that I think people might not be aware of if it wasn't for what we've done over the last 8 months.
Well, it has been about 500,000 people so far between the video version on YouTube and the audio version on all of the streaming platforms. So I would say some people are paying attention. But yeah, Let's dive in. Okay. The first thing in the mysteries of MH370 is how we talk about this deep dive approach. It's not spouting theories. It's just like talking about how you talk about the mystery, a phrase we haven't really used on our viewers and listeners yet.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as I was working on the outline for today's episode. And there's this idea in systems theory and in many manifestations of that, like machine learning, where if you imagine that you're imagine you're a ball trying to roll down the hill, right? Which metaphorically is like if you're trying to solve a solution or come up with the best solution to a problem, and you're rolling down the hill, and the hill, it's a hill, the tallest part is way up here and the bottom part is way down here. Generally speaking, gravity will take you down all the way to the bottom. But what happens is you get caught in what's called a local minimum, meaning there's like a little dip, little valley halfway down and your ball gets stuck in that valley. So it doesn't get all the way to the bottom because it's stuck in the local minimum. And I feel like that's a good metaphor for what happens when people are trying to solve a problem, like, you know, what kind of present should I buy for my wife's birthday, or what happened to MH370? You know, you think about it for a while, you come up with an answer that seems pretty good, and you stop. And you might not have actually solved the whole problem. And so to get out of a local minimum, you sometimes need like a bit of a nudge. You need to like, push the ball a little bit to get it up over the lip and back down rolling again. And I think that what we've seen, especially, you know, we had a big brouhaha, not a big brouhaha, but we had some discussion and dissension between us and like Mentor Pilot, especially. Mm-hmm. You can see it if you look on Twitter. And he really feels that his answer is the best one. And I'm trying to push people out of their local minimum and say, look, you have an explanation that's not bad, actually. It's better than the UFO guy, but yes. It's not actually that good. And I just want to try to convince you of that. So that's part one, I think.
Yeah, those are really awesome points, Jeff. And I know that in episode one, our very first podcast, which launched back in September, this is how we talked about it. So that would be a good refresher for people to, at the time I was like, come on, let's just cut to the chase. But yeah. I gave in and we really did this slow, methodical approach. And I think that's how we're going to continue to approach this, including on potential new topics. So yeah. there may be other deep dive colon topics coming
Not
up.
Maybe. So
okay. There will be, there's there a lot and it dovetails into other things. Secret two is the reboot of the plane. I think that in episode 30, we went real deep on that one. We talked to Juan Brown. It's the thing that makes the least sense when you consider that Zahari may have hijacked his own plane. It just doesn't add up.
Whatever theory you want to have for this plane, I feel like this is the piece of evidence that's hardest to reconcile, because the plane was 3 minutes out of primary radar coverage. And this box got turned back on. So the question of how the SDU gets turned off and back on again is a very difficult problem. And what we've just really started to try to do is to underline and to emphasize really how difficult it is. You can't just paper it over and say, oh, yeah, by the way, he rebooted the SDU. It's a very, very big problem. And so I'm not saying that we have definitively solved it, but I think we have managed to raise it as an issue, which is important.
I think the raising of the issues, that is the important part, because we're not privy to every piece of information in the entire world on this. Nobody is. Right. That's why you had to be so careful when you make outlandish or even like kind of reasonable claims, because we all have to admit what we don't know.
Yeah. As somebody actually put it very astutely in one of the comments that I was reading today, they said, you know, overcoming your sense of certainty is the most important part of the process. And when I talk about getting pushed out of a local minimum, I think the SDU reboot is one of the most important ways. And so when a lot of times I've been getting this for 10 years, people say, oh, why don't you just like, there's a simpler theory. Why don't you just, you know, accept the simple theory that all reasonable people accept? And I'm like, you think it's a simpler theory, but it has a really hard time explaining this one really important thing. Because not only is it hard to explain, but all of the other evidence comes from it. All of the, and people who've listened to the whole 31 episodes now.
Thank you, by the way, very anyone familiar who has.
Yes, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I just want to say that like, this is the crux right there.
I agree. I totally agree. The third mystery is the significance of the Southern seabed search failure. You can't talk about this mystery without talking about they didn't find the plane in the ocean where it was supposed to be, where all that time and money was focused. It wasn't there.
It wasn't there. And again, it's not just that it wasn't there, but how big of a problem is it that it wasn't there? So when I started talking about this in 2014 and the BFO data was analyzed, everyone, including me, was like, okay, this means it went south. This means we're going to find this plane in short order. And they were wrong. And so that the failure, I mean, we started this whole podcast, Andy, with a clip talking about the fact that they started the seabed search completely confident they were going to find the plane, and they didn't. And so in a way, we started this whole podcast as an attempt to grapple with the question of why didn't they find the plane that they were so confident they were going to find.
And, you know, and certainly Amelia Earhart's plane disappeared, but this is, you know, 2014, and this is a Boeing 777. This is no plane this large, especially this recently, has disappeared forever in the ocean.
No, it is a mystery in and of itself, in a league by itself.
That ties into mystery number four, which we're calling the debris gap. And I think that was another giant revelation that we put out there. Frankly, we've been talking about it for many episodes. We talked to Jim Carlton, the marine biologist, and he gave us some excellent insight to how barnacles grow. And
we really had to set the table for that one. We were making a big claim. And we really wanted to have it backed up carefully. You know, there's a lot of objections that you can raise, you know, like, well, maybe a turtle ate all the Lepus barnacles off the other pieces, or maybe it cleared the Lepus barnacles off the Flapron and then it had to get recolonized. We had to explain that is a very poor explanation. And so this is the thing, Andy. I'm not saying that we've solved the mystery. What I'm saying is we have put forward onto the table these six major discoveries / advancements / ideas that the authorities who looked for the plane either didn't know about or have known about but haven't been able to explain. And so what I'm saying is, if you come to us and say, I know what happened to the plane, and then you tell me what happened to the plane, I'm going to say, can you explain A, B, C, D, E, and F? Because all of these things are facts that we know.
And mystery five, to me, is the one that I find the most interesting one. And that's the vulnerability. And that was part of our big 10-year anniversary episode 25. It's by far the most popular and most viewed video that we created. And that talks in detail with people who know what they're talking about, you know, people like Ken Monroe and Todd Humphreys. We talk about this very specific vulnerability on this very specific plane at this very specific time, and how that lends credibility to the possibility that this plane was hijacked by some bad actors and taken somewhere else.
No, I think that's very true. And we, you know, for our anniversary episode, you know, we called it like a major breakthrough, because if you take this debris gap together with this cybersecurity vulnerability, it really opens the door to a completely different understanding of the case. And when we're looking forward to what we're going to cover in the next season, how we're going to cover it, who we're going to talk to, one of the things at the top of my list is to talk to more people about the vulnerability. I want to hear more voices to say, am I delusional or is this a real thing? Because if there's a lot of experts who say, yes, there is a vulnerability, then I think eventually people who are resistant to that idea will have to sit up and take notice.
I mean, you may be delusional, but it's certainly not because of this, Jeff. I mean, this is pretty well discussed and researched science that we're talking about, and people don't like it. I just read a piece in the Washington Post yesterday about how the drones flying over Ukraine are just constantly getting jammed right now, and GPS spoofing and jamming and, you know, cyber attacking technology that people thought maybe couldn't have been. It was out of the question before, but I think we really did a pretty comprehensive job of talking about why this was a real vulnerability.
We now understand that MH370 took place at the start of an era of cybersecurity vulnerability in aviation. In 2011, the Iranians were able to capture a top secret U.S. drone using some of these spoofing techniques, not exactly the same as we're talking about in MH370,
right,
but in the broad space of sort of aerospace hacking, I would say, we are collectively really going to have to wake up and take notice. And I think this is going to be a big story over the next decade. I've been watching the drone story for over a decade now. It has always seemed to me that this was going to be increasingly important. And indeed now, I mean, we see in this recent, you know, it's now, April 15th today, 2014, and we've
2024.
Start oh my God! I'm so I am stuck in the past. I'm living in the past.
Yes.
The Iranians have launched a massive drone and ballistic missile attack against Israel. Russia continues to launch massive drone attacks against Ukraine. This is a real thing. It's happening now. Electronic warfare. The age of electronic warfare in aviation has arrived. We need to grapple with it.
Well, we're on the topic of Russia. Let's talk about the sixth mystery of MH370. And I mean, truthfully, there's dozens and dozens of them, but this is where we're going to pause this season. And that is the fact that one guy with very clear connections to Russia found almost all of the debris of MH370. We have to talk about Blaine Gibson one more time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that he found all the debris, although that is by itself kind of weird, nor is it even the fact that he has these extensive ties to Russia. It's the fact that he has lied about these ties to Russia and he has concealed these ties to Russia. And so when he goes on in the Netflix special and says, well, people are accusing me of being an American spy, being a Chinese spy, being a Russian spy, he's being disingenuous. Because nobody's suggesting he's a Chinese spy. I've never heard anyone suggest that he's an American spy. But the fact is he's had for a decade or more, a business called Siberia Pacific that was registered in Washington State that he only wound up after I started talking about it. He had a multi-decade relationship with a person that he met when this person was 19 years old in Russia.
And that person is, yes, Russian, yes.
And so I think that whatever theory you might want to have about MH370, that's fine, but it is a fact of the case that the strange fact exists that the person who found most of the debris also lied about his connections to Russia.
So many more mysteries to come. So let's just talk a little bit about what people will learn about in season two of Deep Dive MH370. We are going to weigh in on some other theories, including Florence's, which we haven't talked a ton about. We've acknowledged it.
So a Hong Kong-based French journalist named Florence Deshangy, who's been covering this from the get-go, she seems to have some real reporting chops. She was in the Netflix documentary with me. She's sold a lot of copies of her book. She's gotten a lot of publicity. She has a theory that I don't think really even merits discussion, but a lot of people have asked about it. So mm-hmm. we will discuss it. And we'll discuss some other theories that people want, us to weigh in on. I think, again, we have these major data points. We're calling them the six secrets of MH370. But I think whatever theory you have has to be able to accommodate these very powerful and strange things, as well as just more normal things like the fact that the plane was seen on Malaysian military radar going up the Malacca Straits. Like, that's not even a secret. That's just a normal fact that we know. Can you accommodate that into your theory?
Yeah, that would be a very good clickbaity name for this series, but we're not going to do that because...
What's the clickbaity name?
The secrets of MH370 or something like that.
But I mean,
that's
not what we're doing kind of here. Like it because it's true.
You do like it?
Secrets. Okay. I'm not saying we changed the name, but... Anyway.
Not now. No. We're also going to talk about, we're going to get way deeper on looking at the Russians on this flight. We have given you a bit on them, but
I feel like we haven't even hardly scratched the surface, but we will. It's quite interesting, actually.
So, yeah, without, again, I'm not calling this like a cliffhanger, but we have information and we're going to share it.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about, as we said, we're going to talk more about the cybersecurity vulnerabilities of both this plane and the modern aviation industry. We're also going to be talking to some people within the government, whether they are specifically related to intelligence or tangentially related to intelligence, who are going to talk about kind of the process of how classified information stays classified and how it's just not something that is discussed with people like us or any people who don't have a certain kind of security clearance. And they can also provide us with some more background on some of the players that we have talked about.
We haven't really heard in this podcast from voices of the relatives of the missing. And I think that is an important part. I think the Netflix documentary spent a lot of time talking to them, getting their story, very poignantly talking about their loss. But I would really like to hear what they have to say, what they think happened, their state of hope or not hope. And I also think that they have a voice that, you know, that I think people will listen to. And if they feel like there's a possibility of moving forward, I think they would be the people to do it.
I absolutely agree. And if you look back at the thousands of comments we have received during season one, one of the relatives of one of the missing passengers weighed in and said, you know, because there was some early criticism or critique that maybe we weren't acknowledging the human suffering in this. And we tried really hard to do this sensitively, but she thanked us for that. So I'm looking forward to delving more into the human side of this.
And then the big last big one, Andy, is I want to look at the context, more of the context. We did a little bit. We talked about Putin's motives. That was just the beginning of, I think, a historical change that has taken place since MH370 happened. There is a lot of important ramifications of what happened on March 8th, 2014 that are still playing out today. And there's a lot there because we did get kind of a pushback on the Putin episode. But
we expected that, though. That's exactly what we expected. I did anyway.
Listen, I guess the point to make here is, look, this is not just us one way dumping information out onto the internet, but this, what we're hoping for is a community, a conversation. People ask questions, people raise objections, people point out facts, people help us, you know, and it's been really invaluable. And here I'm going to mention Emily Morgel because, you know, there's people in social media talk about engagement and like nothing is more engaged than someone reaching out and saying, hey, I want to help you with your website. So Emily actually reached out to us and has been helping us understand the world of TikTok. We definitely, one of our goals with today's episode was to give a special shout out and thank you to Emily for her help. And because, yeah, there's a lot of help that people could give us, not just monetarily, although money certainly helps.
Well, for sure. And we want to thank all of the sponsors who have participated in season one. That includes Ditch GPS, super cool navigation boat tool, the Finished MKE, one of my friends and a home renovation house, I won't even call him a house flipper, but a guy who just makes houses better. And the person who wrote our bumper music, our title music, Jacob John, who is a Seattle Tacoma based musician. He just had a live show and he said he's sending me some merch. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, great.
I still love the fact that we not only had a sponsor who's a musician, but he also wrote us custom music. So
he's our house composer.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Now, mm-hmm. I want to tell you, Jeff, that, and actually I want to tell the viewers and listeners that in between season one and two, we're not disappearing. We're still following along with the comments. We're still responding. We're still encouraging people to go to deepdivemh370.com. But we're also going to be putting out some non-episodic content. You'll have to wait and see what it's like. We're taking a brief springtime pause, but there's going to be more stuff to come. So you should be liking and subscribing, and you should be becoming a member of the YouTube channel, and you should be visiting our website. And you know, there's much more to come, Jeff.
The content will be on the Substack of deepdivemh370.com. I'm going to pause subscriptions, so like you won't be like charged anymore for while we're on
hiatus,
and then we'll restart it when we get back to posting stuff. But we're going to still be engaged, but we're going to be sketching and scheming.
And maybe getting outside from our studio and enjoying some nice weather, perhaps too. So as we wrap up season one of Deep Dive MH370, which has been so much fun and so interesting, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking a chance on this thing because we didn't know each other. And people tell me all the time, they're like, wow, you guys have such great chemistry. And like, we're 800 miles away from each other. We've met in person, but and we talk all the time, but we're doing this thing remotely and we're learning as we go. So I've just had a fascinating time getting to know you better and getting to know this story better, because it really is aviation's greatest mystery.
It is. Well, and right back at you, Andy, thank you. I mean, you came up with the idea, you reached out to me, you really just kind of winged it and thought, listen, this would be great. I can help you make this happen. This never would have happened if you hadn't had the idea. So thank you for doing that. We've learned a lot, not only about the mystery, but just how to make a podcast and like how to do social media. So I think if people, like, you wanted to do a video from the start, and I'm like, let's just do like an audio podcast to see how we even work.
Told
so
you.
We've talked about going back and redoing the first two episodes with video, but you can actually watch like the progression of like us baby steps and like learning how to walk. And
spoiler alert, that's one of the videos that I'm going to be producing in our off season, which is how to make your own podcast and how we did it and all the different steps. Okay. So look for that. At any rate, thank you to our visitors to our website. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our viewers for coming along on this ride as we unraveled the mystery. Much more to come. Jeff, let's get back to work.
Yep.
And we will reconvene soon for season two of Deep Dive MH370. Thank
Fantastic.
You, Jeff.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.